شايف. خلاص كبرنا بقى. Good morning. God is good all the time. The Lord is good. This is the way to start in Sudan. I'm still anyway. Hallelujah. Today I'm blessed to share the word of God with you, and I believe God is doing a lot of things in our lives, and I believe that God will use it, this word in us, in our lives as a church. Amen. Three things God put in my heart when I started to think and pray about today. Because Pastor Al likes three things, you know. So I'm just gonna do three things. Okay, one, and it's like it will sound like bad news, but later on we will see the good news. I mean, so three things. One is the flow of sin in the world, the sin, how it's taking place in the world. This is one bad news. Yeah, bad news. Second, living holy life for God. This is second. Us living holy life in the world that full of sin. Three, the overflow of God's grace helping his people. I mean, so three things. I pray that God will give us open eyes to see what God wants to show us, to hear what God wants to tell us by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray one more time to prepare our hearts that God will speak to us, each one of us. If you are very close to God, if you are far from God, pray that God will speak to your heart today. Pray that God will use this word to be a living streams of water to your soul. Lord, we thank you that you brought us here. And as we sang, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you. We need you to come and open our eyes and to hear your word, not only with our mind, but with our hearts, Lord. To be changed, to be strong. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Before I start, I just remembered I was supposed to say the giving thing that James, but James took it away from me. No, I'm just no, three things was giving. Also three things. Yes. I heard this and I was so blessed, and I was changed when I heard this about giving. When we giving and our approach is we need to, we will give grant. Grudgingly. I was like, I don't want, but I have to. Yeah? But when we, second one, when we give and we feel like our approach, we feel like I want to, we will give dutifully. Like, this is a duty. Duty. It's obligation that I have to give. But the third one, which is, I feel like God is working in my heart. When I give, I have to give thankfully. And our approach will be, I want to. I want to give. It's not only need or want. It's not only I have to or I need to. I want to give. To give from all my heart. Amen? Okay. Our teaching today. Okay. I don't know what. It's closed again. Sorry. I have a password for Jono's iPad. It's closing all the time. Okay. The first part from Genesis 19, the story of Lot living in Sodom. Yeah? Sodom?
Sodom.
Sodom. And the two angels just visited Abraham and told him about what's going to happen. And Abraham tried to intercede. You know the story. If there is 50 people, I wouldn't destroy it. If there is 45, I wouldn't destroy it. 40, 30, 20, 10. But there is no righteous in this city or town. City or town. Yeah, but there is no righteous. So they decided we will go and destroy. But because of Lot, I will try to get him out. They entered the city of Sodom, and they found Lot where? Sitting by the gate. Sitting by the gate means that he was one of the elders of this city. Because this is normally elders sit by the gate of the city. Yeah, so he was one of them, not only one of them. He lived their life and he might become one of their leaders, elders. When he saw the two angels coming to the city, he bowed down and said, "Lord, come and stay in my house." They said, no, we are going to stay in the street. We'll spend the night in the streets. He said, no, I insist to come and stay the night with me in the house. Yeah? They came in. After a while, you know the story. All the men, from elders to young men, came, surrounded the house and said, "Give us those two men that just came to your house. To know them, to have relationship with them, to have sex with them. This is their mindset. This is their life. Their life is when we see new people, we have to do this. It's like so evil. So evil." He insisted. Lot tried to defend those two guests. "Please, please don't do that. You know what? I will give you my two daughters. They knew no man. Take them. Do whatever you want with them." Can you believe this? Can you believe the results of living in this city led him to do what? To offer his two daughters for those people to do whatever they want. You know what? They refused. They refused even the normal. This is the normal. Man and woman. They refused it. Why? They want to, insisting to do that ugly sin. That ugly sin. He insisted to defend them. But they insisted to do this sin. A sin is everywhere. The sin is offered is everywhere. Maybe you will laugh, but I'll explain it for you here. I like to make it like practical, yeah? Can I do that?
Sure.
Okay. I used to work in Whittier. I drive from Los Angeles to Whittier like 50 minutes. And when I hit Imperial, I was like almost there to work. But when I drive in the street, one of the signs was advertising for this movie that was released last month, Sex Tape. Yeah? Sex Tape. When I see it, I was like, inside, I was like, oh, this is bad. But I was like, every day I see it. It became like I'm almost at work when I see it. It was like a sign. I'm almost at work. I'm almost to work. I was like, what's happening? And then when I go home, I just go out of the freeway close to my house, the another movie at the same time, which is Sex Master. So when I see it, I was like, I'm almost home. I was like, this is the signs that we have, you know? This is the, it's everywhere. When I drive 405 North, there is another advertising, Sin City. Have you seen it? Sin City. When I'm going south, how to get away with murder. It's like advertising sin everywhere. Everywhere. And you cannot drive as closing us. You cannot. You have to see it. It's sin everywhere. The sin is everywhere in the world. And it's offered to you every time. We'll go back to Lot. I kind of see it like, I don't want to offend you, but it's kind of similar. Yeah? We live in an age, it's kind of similar. The sin is out of control. Sin is out of control. So when Lot tried to defend those two men, he couldn't. What happened? I love it. What happened is that the two angels, the Bible says, stretched their hands and brought him in. Say, brought him in.
Brought him in.
Brought him in. And they closed the door. And they closed the door. And then, they struck them with blindness. So they couldn't see the door anymore. This is the first time for me to pray this prayer. I pray as I'm preparing this. I prayed, Lord, blind my enemies to see my doors. You know? Because the enemy will try. The Bible says they try to break the door to get into the house to get those two men. Sin will insist. Sin will force itself. Sin will try to enter your life. If you're not closing your doors, it will come in. It will come in. It will try to even break doors. But the Lord did what? Brought him in. The two angels brought Lot in, and they closed the door, and they struck them with blindness. Amen? And he was saved. And they left, and you know the rest of the story. Living holy life, this is second. Living holy life in a life like this for Jesus. I liked one of the words, English words. I will teach you English now by the grace of God. Believe it or not. You know the word, but I will give you the definition of it. Living holy life, it takes tenacity. Ay khidma. Tenacity. Tenacity? Yes? I'm saying it right? Tenacity. The definition of this word, tenacity, is the quality of or fact of being able to grip something firmly. I will say it again. The definition of tenacity is the quality or fact of being able to grip something firmly. Hold it firmly. It's not a joke. It's not like, okay, I'm going to see this tail, you know, advertising. Oh, it's not going to do anything for me. No! No. No, you have to be firm refusing that thing. You have to be firm refusing the flirtation that it's offered to you in job, in streets, in bus, in everywhere, in the school. You have to refuse. You have to be firm to refuse the sin. I like, I will tell you a story about Jonathan, my son. When he was young, he did something wrong, and he wanted to say sorry, and he said it like this: sorry, 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 sorry. I was like, That's it! Don't say it again! And he was like, sorry. Jono, don't say sorry again. He said it like this. I was like, stop saying sorry. And he did it like this. He's saying it in his mind. I cannot stop him. I laughed. After I was so angry, I was so like, that's it. I laughed. But this is tenacity. You know, tenacity of saying sorry when even I didn't require it, you know. But this is like, no. This is the attitude that we have. To live life, a holy life in this world, we have to learn to say no to every offer that we have. Joseph in the Bible. Sin was offered to him every day. You remember the wife of Potiphar? The Bible says she asked him day after day, or over and over, to sleep with her. And he says what? Tenacity of refusing the sin. I don't want that. Why? How can I do this sin against who? God. He sees God everywhere he goes. This is why he has the strength. This is why he sees God grabbing him inside the door and shutting the door. Hallelujah. Shutting the door against sin, against the things that will not please God, that will break God's heart. When we sin, no. Not only that, but I like this about Joseph. He was meek enough. He surrendered his will. He surrendered his desires. He surrendered his heart, his life, his body, his soul, his spirit to God and to his boss. How can I sin against God? How can I sin against my boss? How can I break the rules? Yeah? He was meek enough to do that. He was determined to say no to sin. Hallelujah. He was determined to say no to sin. He wanted to live the life of holiness to God. Am I talking about something that we face, or this is only me? Is it only me? No? Maybe. I'm just... sometimes I preach and I was like, this is only me. Yeah, we face this every day. Every day, sin offered to us. The definition. I didn't do anything. Stop. The definition of tenacity is the quality of or fact of being able to grip something firmly, but it has the meaning of persistence, determination, perseverance, strength or purpose, firmness, patient, purposefulness. Something that you do it over and over. You're not... Yeah, you don't refuse sin and you start to celebrate. Oh yeah. I refused sin today. No, it's gonna come again and again and again and again. And you have to refuse it again and again and again and again. Third, the overflow. This is the good news. The overflow of God's grace. I loved it. And again, sorry. Forgive us, preachers like to preach from this part of the Bible, from Luke 15. The prodigal son, who show us, what if I didn't grip my holiness firmly? What if I sinned? What if I lost it? What if I fall? What if I'm weak? The answer is the overflow of God's grace It's sin is flowing. This is English again. Flowing. It's everywhere. But the grace of God, I believe it's overflowing. It's more stronger. It's much powerful from the power of sin. Say amen. Say amen. Amen. Luke 15, the prodigal son. The prodigal means the word prodigal is wasteful. Wasteful spend his money. Wasteful he spend all the precious things that he has. He took the money and he went far away to a Gentile place. And he spent wasteful. Spend all his money. Spend all his dignity. Spend all his... Can I say sonship? For him. This is why when he started to, you know, repent, he said, I'm not deserve anymore to be called, what? A son. Sometimes we feel this, yeah? Sometimes we feel we are so much prodigal, so much lost, so much... We spend our life wasting our life, and we feel like I don't even deserve to be called son. But the grace of God, when he repented, when this man repented, well, repentance, I was thinking about it, it's not only emotions, yeah? Yeah, you know that? You know, it's not only even prayer. It's not repentance. It's not even prayer. It is a prayer, but it's not only that. I will tell you a story. A village. They have a hole, hufra. And this hole, people fall into it all the time. And they injure themselves. So they thought about it. Okay, let's bring the most clever people in this village to think about solution for this hole. So, one of them, this is the most clever people, yeah? One of them said, we will write a big caution. There is a hole in front of you, be careful not to drive into it. And another one said, well, I think the most important thing is to put an ambulance next to the wall. When someone falls into it, the ambulance will, you know, save him quickly. And the third one said, well, I suggest to build an hospital next to the wall, the hole. Because it's very easy to take him from the hole to the hospital immediately. They didn't think about, fill it up! Get rid of it! Repentance, it's not trying to find solution for the problem. Repentance is, get rid of it. Get rid of the things that makes you fall into sin. When this man, this young man, decided to come back to himself and to repent and to go back to his fathers, if he says the prayer, oh Lord, forgive me, I sinned against you, I sinned against my father, and he stayed there, will it make any good for him? No, no. He will still do the same things. He will fall into the same things. He will live in to eat the pig's food. Yeah? But he said, I will go back to my father's house. And even if I live in his house as a servant, I will go back. I will go back. I lost my sonship. I lost my dignity. I lost my even identity as a son, but I will go back. This is his attitude. This is his, like, this is what he reached. But when he came back, I love this. When he came back, his father saw him. Listen to this. This morning, I had a switch in understanding of repentance. Because we always sing, I'm coming back to you, Lord. I'm coming back to you, Lord. But from this story, we see the father is running to his son. You sinned. You're weak. You fall. Repent. You will see the father coming running. Running. Cannot wait. Not only cannot wait, but because of the Jewish tradition at that time, there was a tradition called Kitsasta. Hello? Kitsasta. Yes. This tradition, which is in Arabic, Qasas. It's like punishment to a son that takes his money and wasted in a foreign land, in a Gentile land. Even like that time, some of the Jewish, if a son married to a Gentile woman, they would perform funeral as if he's dead. This is why the son said, the father said, my son was dead and he is alive. So this tradition is, they would fill a jar full of ashes. When they see the son coming to his village, back to his village, after he wasted all his money, they would break that jar in front of him and they say to him, you are cut out of your household. You are cut off your family. You are not member or from your family anymore. This is the tradition. This is the tradition. And then all the young men from this village would go out with sticks and they beat him. So the father knew, if I don't hurry, if I don't go run to my son, this could happen. And the father ran and he started to hug him and he started to kiss him, embrace him. And the son said, I am not deserved to be son. Don't say this anymore. You are my son. You are my son. You fall. You failed. You sinned. You wasted your money. You wasted everything. I love you so much. I love you so much. And he started to pour out the blessing of the Father. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? This is a man coming brokenhearted. How many of us came to God brokenhearted? One time? Two times? Hundreds of times. Every time you come to Him, broken, sinful, feel ashamed, feel very broken. And the Lord starts pouring His love and blessings. He gave him the rope. The rope of righteousness. The rope of belonging. You belong to my family. You are my son. You are my. Don't worry about the past. The past, I will take care of it. You are my son. You are my son. Instead of being ashamed with your sin, I will give you robe, the best robe, the best robe. Instead of walking on ashes, this is the tradition. You should walk in ashes. You should be ashamed. You should be beaten. Instead of that, I will give you sandals. I will give you new sandals. I will give you beauty out of ashes. This is the grace of God. This is the overflow of God's grace when we sin. When we sin. I will give you ring. Ring, son? I will give you ring. I was so blessed when I thought about it this time. The ring. That means this son could sell anything of his father's property. He could do it again. But this is not only his share. He has a access to everything. And he could waste it again with this ring. But the father tells him, I trust you. Again? I trust you doing my business. I trust you doing my ministry. I trust you taking care of your family. I trust you. I trust you. You trust me? I wasted everything. Yes, but I'm giving you a new chance. God does not have third chance. He always have second chance. When you waste your first and you come back, repentance, true repentance. He doesn't say, I give you another chance. You remember? And you remember? And you remember? No. That does not that. Does not count like this. The past is gone. I redeemed it. I give you a new chance. A second chance. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. And they started to celebrate. They started to celebrate. They start to celebrate. They start to say that after death there is life. After being lost, I am found. Hallelujah. Started to celebrate and everyone celebrated. There is a story that I heard, touched my heart, made me cry. A story of a man called Robert Robinson. He was a little bit older than us. He lived in the 18th century. And he wrote this song that's some of us knows, and James told me that we sing it here several times. This song that says, come thy fount of every blessings. You know this song? This man wrote this hymn. He was living with God, right? But there was a time in his life that he was away from God. He was weak. He was buried, yani. He was like cold in his relationship with God. He was very weak. And he was not going to church. But one time he decided, I will go back to church. He put on his clothes for the church, which is for us jeans now. He put on his clothes. And everyone walks in the streets on Sunday morning that wearing this clothes. It's known that he's going to church. As he walking, and he was like, yani, you know, he was not sure, shall I go, shall I not? A lady came with a cart, opened the door, and asked him, are you going to church? He said, yeah. She said, come, I will give you a ride. When he came in, she greeted him. Hi, what's your name? My name is Robert Robinson. Are you? I was just reading this hymn that you wrote. I'm so pleased to meet you. You wrote this beautiful song. He said, yes. And I would pay 1,000 worlds to have 1 second of this joy that I had when I wrote this song. I pay everything to have 1 second of joy that I had when I wrote this song. She told him this when I cried. This is when I cried. She told him, it's not too late. It's not too late. If you are away, if you are broken, if you fall, if you have issues in your life, if you have issues in your life, can you lift up your hand, please? Okay. If you have an issue in your life, if you have broken heart, if you are away, if you're not having that same fire, it's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late to come back. He came back. And he started to write songs again. He wrote this song, come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, thy grace, thy
overflowing grace.
Streams of mercy never ceasing. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. If you look to Jesus today, if you look, if you go into his presence, you will see his love, his redeeming love, his grace, his overflowing grace waiting for you, waiting for you, waiting for all of us. Says, don't worry, I will take care of the. It's not too late. It's not too late. Come back, come back. And I will run to you. I will run to you. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind me, bind my wandering heart to thee. It's very hard English, but I tried my dictionary to explain it for me. I like it. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, O take it and seal it. Seal it. Seal it not for the world. Seal it not for the things that in the world, but seal it for the things above, from above. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, when was that? When will be that day? When we are with Jesus, we are freed from sinning. I shall see thy lovely face, clothed then in blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry. Take my ransomed soul away. Send then angels now to carry me to realm of endless day. Hallelujah. This is my prayer. I was listening to this song over and over and over and over. And Jonathan asked, is this song going to be your favorite song? I said, yes. It's going to be one of my favorite songs that I will sing over and over, because every day I need the overflowing grace of God. Do you need it? Do you need it? Do you need it to pray and seek the presence of God, that full of grace, full of power, full of mercy? Streams of mercy overflowing, never cease, never cease. Overflowing mercy, overflowing grace of God. When you come to him, you will find it. I promise, I promise. I promise not because I am a good teacher. I promise not because I'm expert of coming back to the Lord. Because I'm expert of falling. I'm expert of breaking God's, you know, word and coming back to him, finding that grace. I will tell you the last story and then we will hear this song. Maybe some of you know it. I shared it before. When I was high school, I decided to go and have a vacation with my friends. So two friends, I decided to go away, but without telling my father and my mother. So I disappeared, just disappeared for 3 days. Praise God, the kids are not here, so they don't take ideas. Having fun, going to Cairo and, you know, having fun with my friends and enjoying my time, drinking, you know, buying things and having really good time. When I came back, I came to the town. It's a very little town. So everyone was, where are you? Where were you? Where are you? This is, you know, we thought you were killed or kidnapped or whatever. I was like, oh, I'm in trouble. I think I'm in trouble. When I came home, my mother gave me welcoming celebration, but her way. Yeah!
started, you know, she started to, you know, yell at me, and she was like, she was so mad at me because I was like disappearing for 3 days. You don't do that. You don't do that. You don't do that. Disappeared for 3 days. And she was so mad. She was so mad because she loves me, because she wanted to know that I'm safe. But when I said sorry, I really said sorry. I recognized how bad this was, you know. I said, I'm so sorry. What I did is so wrong. I will never forget the response of my father. He said, you know that you are so, you did something wrong. I said, yes, I did something wrong. He said, bought him food to eat. He told my mother, bought him food to eat. Give him food to eat. And she couldn't say anything. Hallelujah. But the thing is that, is that it? Father, Baba, there is nothing else? Slap or punch or kick? Anything? No. No. You know that you're sorry? Yes, I am sorry. You know that you did something wrong? Yes, I am. I am. I know that I did something wrong. So you deserve food now. What you deserve is food. Give him food to eat. I will never forget this. This is so easy. This is why it's so easy to go back to God the Father when I am doing bad stuff. Because I know the Father, the Heavenly Father is much, way, way better than my earthly father. My earthly father received me and he gave me food and he forgot what I did. The Heavenly Father will do much more. He will pour out the blessings, every blessing over your life. When you come back, you will receive this blessing, overflowing grace. Let us hear this song. Hallelujah. Let's spend time with God, you know, thanking Him about His grace. Maybe this is a time that you search your heart. Search your heart. What's the things that trying to get into your life? God will show you doors that is open, that is open to sin. God wants to shut those doors. God wants us to live holy. Hallelujah. His overflowing grace is here. It's here for you and me. Just start receiving it. We love you, Lord. Thank you. If you know the words, you can sing it. It's going to be in the screen.
Here I raise my head.
Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. I know that I'm tempted to be away. I'm tempted to be away from my God, even the God I love. I have wonderful time. I had wonderful time. I had fire. But I am away. I know. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Let's stand together and just pray this prayer with me. By your own, for your own. Lord, protect us. Protect me. Protect me from leaving you. Protect me from being away in a far places. Protect me from living sinful life. Here's my heart. Take and seal it. Seal it for the courts above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God will stretch his hand and take your heart again. Again. Take it, Lord. Take it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your overflowing grace. Thank you for the streams of mercy that never cease. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mountain of love that we will forever, Lord, be fixed on it. Be fixed our eyes on it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the unfailing love. Thank you for the unfailing love. Lord, I thank you for the open hearts in this place to receive you, to live for you, and to serve you, Lord. Lord, we dedicate our lives again into your hand. Use us. Restore the fire of the Holy Spirit. Restore the fire of joy, of salvation to our lives. Restore the joy of the Lord. Restore the joy of salvation. If we are far from you, we are coming back, Lord, and seeing you coming, running, and blessing us again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen.